Welcome to More to the Story, a podcast from the ministry of Spring Hill Baptist Church in Mobile, Alabama. Spring Hill Baptist Church exists to lead people to become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ, and this podcast is designed to help achieve that by providing thoughtful reflection on the Bible, theology, cultural issues, and current events from a Christian worldview. I'm your host, Ben Stubblefield, Senior Pastor of Spring Hill Baptist Church, and I'd like to welcome you to More to the Story. Well, this is the third episode of More to the Story, and I just got to say, we're off to a great start. I really appreciate all your encouragements, and I certainly hope this resource can be helpful. For today's episode, I want to turn your attention to Psalm 80 and 81. I preached on Psalm 80 and 81 this past Sunday. If you're listening and you weren't there in church, that's okay. You didn't have to be there to get what we're talking about today, because I really didn't get a chance to talk about verses 8 through 19 of Psalm chapter 80. I'm not going to read all these verses, but I think it's helpful to summarize them just quickly. In these verses, God is comparing Israel to a vine. So it's really a metaphor that is carried all the way through these verses. And the psalmist says that, you know, God, you removed a vine from Egypt, which is a metaphorical way of describing the Exodus, right? You removed Israel from Egypt, you removed the vine from Egypt, and then he says you planted us in good soil. And there the vine grew, right? The vine grew and grew and grew and was tremendously blessed. Then in verses 14 through really 19, he starts to talk about how that though the vine was blessed, it began to experience, trouble. It says the vine was cut. It says that wild animals plundered the fruit of the vine. The psalmist says the vineyard was, or the vine, verse 16 says, was burned, cut down, and perished. This describes Israel's judgment, and when they were rebellious and refused to follow the Lord, right? The Philistines, foreign powers, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, they ransacked and deported and demolished the nation of Israel. And the psalmist is using this metaphor to describe those moments in Israel's history. Now, here's what's fascinating. Twice, the psalmist hinges the future success of Israel on the Son of Man. Now, that's an unusual moniker to describe the hope for Israel. Verses 15 and 17, he talks about the hope is that you will strengthen the son whom you have for yourself. The hope is, verse 17, let your right hand be upon the man of your right hand, upon the Son of Man whom you've made strong for yourself. All right, so this is really important. If you're an Old Testament scholar or theologian, which I know we have many of you out there, you'll no doubt recognize this. But if you're not, it's okay. This is really important. And this really summarizes a good bit of how the Old Testament worked. Okay, so here it is. The way that God often dealt with Israel was like this. As the king goes, so goes the nation. As the king goes, so goes the nation. In other words, so David was a great king in the Old Testament, wasn't he? And as long as David was righteous and obeyed the Lord, guess what? Not only was he blessed, but the nation was blessed. But if you know the rest of David's story in 2 Samuel, when David acted unrighteously, then guess what? Not only was David judged for it, but the nation would be punished for it. Okay, so now the psalmist is praying that the Son of Man, that there would become, and I think he's praying for a king, one who would follow in David's lineage, that a Son of Man would come, that an appointed person would come through whom God would bless his people. And when the psalmist is expecting that when God raises up that Son of Man, that future king, that God's blessing will return to his people. Well, this ought to sound very familiar to us. Those familiar with the New Testament, it picks up this imagery, doesn't it? What does Jesus say about himself? What does Jesus say about himself in John 15? He says, I am the true vine. I am the true vine. So Jesus picks up this vine imagery, doesn't he? And Jesus says, if you want to get to the Father, you've got to come through me. You've got to get connected to me, right? Anyone who abides in me has access to God. Now that's a really radical thing for Jesus to say, that to get to God, right? The way it used to be in the old covenant was that to get to God, you got to come through Israel. You have to be born in the lineage of Abraham's physical lineage and descent. But now Jesus says, to get to God, you got to come through me. I am the true vine, right? Well, that's a wonderful thing for Jesus to assert about himself. That's an amazing thing. And then Jesus describes himself further in the Gospels as the Son of Man, right? He's not necessarily just the Son of David. No, although that is a common term used of Jesus, the Son of David. Jesus says about himself, I'm not just the Son of David, I'm the Son of Man. Remember Psalm 80, the great hope of Israel was the revelation of this Son of Man. The great hope of Israel was that God would resume blessing and growing this vine. And so in both of those terms, in the vine metaphor and the expectation of the Son of Man, Jesus says, I am the fulfillment and completion of both those expectations. So you see what the New Testament is doing with this Old Testament imagery. It's finding the Old Testament's fulfillment in the person and work of Jesus Christ. But there's a problem. What happens? Just like the vine in Psalm 80, Jesus gets cut. He gets cut down, just like the Old Testament vine. And just like David, Jesus has a burial place. Jesus is crucified, he's killed, he's cut down, and he's buried, just like his ancient father, the Son of David. And now, in this flow of the gospel story, that means that that we have no real hope. If Jesus is the true vine, and if Jesus is the true Son of Man, then we have no way to get right with God, because the vine is cut and the Son of Man is buried. To receive God's blessings, to receive His promises, if Jesus is the means of providing them, you see, we have no hope, because the means of God blessing the world is buried in a borrowed tomb. But we all know the rest of the story. Hallelujah. Jesus raises, I can't forget the grammar rule there, but he rises from the dead. Amen and amen. So now, you see, the psalmist's hope for God's blessing to the world and the Son of Man being strengthened to bring God's blessing to the world, the psalmist's hope in Psalm 80, you see, is forever secured, permanently protected, decided, and assured. Because the vine, the Son of Man, right, the true vine, the true Son of Man, the person through whom God will bless the world, has been made alive, and he will never die through all eternity. Well, this gives me, I don't know about you, but this gives me a tremendous peace. Through my 70 years or however long I'm going to have in this world, I'm sure I'm going to have trouble. I know you're going to have trouble as well. And if all of my trust was in my bank accounts or in, you know, the governance of nations or in certain, even just people in my life, I would be in a panic, because those hopes are faulty. They fail from time to time, don't they? If my hope is built on those things, I'm going to be in a real bind. I don't know if you ever played sports, but you probably can understand what I'm driving at here. If you ever played a sport or been on a team, and you just have somebody on your team, and you know that because that particular person is on your team, you just know you're going to win. I've been recently watching some clips from Bo Jackson's the special that ESPN did on Bo Jackson's 30 for 30 special, and Bo Jackson was just a freak of nature high school athlete. And his teammates just knew that because Bo was on their basketball team or baseball or football team or track team, they just knew they were going to win. I mean, the other team can cheer and their fans can yell all they want. But you can play with 100% peace that you are going to win the game because Bo Jackson is on your team, right? You can mess up all game. You can have all the errors. But because Bo knows, right? Because Bo is Bo Jackson, you know you're going to win, and there's nothing you could do to mess it up. And that's really what it's like to be a Christian. The book of Hebrews says there's nothing that anybody can do to Jesus. Because of his resurrection, he has given us an immortal covenant. He has provided for us an imperishable inheritance. One preacher says, they can't kill him, and he ain't going to resign. Well, he's our vine. He is our Son of Man. And where he is, no matter what happens in my lifetime, I know that I'm going to be with him in the age to come. And that gives me peace. Peace like a river in my soul. Well, thank you for listening to More to the Story. For more episodes delivered directly to you on a regular basis, make sure you subscribe to the podcast. And for more information about Spring Hill Baptist Church, you can look us up online at shbc.cc. Again, that's shbc.cc. Oh, hey, I'm Pastor Ben. Thank you for listening in, and we look forward to joining you again on the next episode of More to the Story.